Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. So delighted to be gathered here with all of you as always. Thank you so much to those of you who sent in kind words, emailed us, just sent them energetically. Thank you so, so much for all of your sweet words related to my family having COVID circulating our house for 30 days. everyone is testing negative as of today. So that's really been a huge celebration. No one is symptomatic, and we've been enjoying that before. You know, it's not like that, which is inevitable with life, COVID or not. We're well, and then we're sick, and on it goes. But thank you so, so much. It really meant the world. We're here with another Mailbag Monday episode of the podcast. This is our summer series where I answer your questions. And I've been really enjoying doing little roundups. And so I'm going to do a little roundup again. So I have three lovely questions from three lovely listeners, and I'm going to dive right in. This first email is from Sarah. So Sarah asks, "Hi, Lindsay. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your podcast. Some weeks your guidance is really like a quiet island in the midst of a huge storm." Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for listening, and thank you for these beautiful words. I'm so glad it resonates and serves. "I've dabbled with the tarot on and off for a few years, but this year I have found myself going deeper with it, and I'm leaning into an intuitive and soul-led life path. With my channels being so open, I've found that sometimes spirit speaks through me directly to people I come across. Sometimes this happens so strongly that I'm unable to rein it in, which is difficult, especially when the person I'm speaking to isn't asking for or open to this kind of communication from spirit. Do you have any advice on how to implore spirit to be more tactful, or how I could distinguish it when it is appropriate to pass on these messages without spirit taking over the reins completely? All of my love, Sarah." Oh, Sarah, thank you for trusting me with this question. And thank you for your centering, for your desire to have your channel be open and yet be ethical, right? To be in respect of folks' boundaries, of your own boundaries, about what you are available or not available to receive. So I just want to offer up a caveat that because you are asking me, Lindsay, I will answer from my range of knowledge. And I also want to acknowledge that there are some people whose channels are such that they are very open. They are sort of, you know, able to balance receiving a lot of information for people who didn't directly ask them to. And I imagine that some people are able to be ethical about the sharing of that information or not sharing that information. And I just want to kind of bow to that and put that over there. I'm just speaking from me. I'm not speaking for everyone. And so hopefully, and certainly not for all intuitives. But because you're asking me, I'm going to speak with my own range of awareness and knowledge and experience. You know, so again, just that short, probably unnecessary caveat. So again, just really want to bow to your desire to have your channel be one that is of service, be one that is very open, be one that's very aligned. And part of that alignment is, you know, having the awareness that while things happen in the soul-led world that I'm sure don't necessarily require free will and consent, we are living in a different world where free will and consent is very important. And free will and consent, specifically consent, is not really something I don't think that is as important in intuitive channeling spaces as it should be. This isn't a drag on anyone or a dig on anyone. It's just an invitation to think about, you know, we assume as intuitives that if we're receiving information, A, that it's correct, and this isn't to invite anyone into doubt around their channel, but I had an experience the other day where I had the privilege of reading for a client who was telling me about their experience, and they mentioned something inside of their question, inside of just their share, that I got a very strong body, like a big well of feeling. And while I was listening to them, that was like, get out of this, don't do this, like that kind of energy. It could have been do it, you know, but that kind of feeling. But I didn't say anything because I have enough experience to know that it's not about denying that, but we always want to be checking in. Not necessarily to be second-guessing ourselves, but to be clean. Not that dirty is really a problem, but to be as, again, ethically minded as we can about this gift and about this ability and skill that has no code of ethics to it, you know? So I'm learning alongside all of y'all, but I paused. I didn't say anything. I just clocked it. And I was like, well, that was a really big feeling and a gut sense. And like, and I'm going to check in on it. And I tuned in and was, did my thing before I do with every reading and was like, whatever it wants to be. And the reading was completely different. I got totally different guidance than what I would have said before I tuned in. So Lindsay has strong opinions. Lindsay has feelings about stuff. Lindsay, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And the person's guides may want something different. Right? So it's not to say, and this is something if you're interested, I'm doing my first kind of like real multi-week intuition course in October. And if you're interested, we'll be chatting a bit more about it. So again, it's not to, in that space, but it's not to say again that we want to doubt ourselves, we can't trust anything. It's just to say that we have a check-in process with spirit for a reason. So that leads me into my answer to your question. How to implore spirit to be more tactful or distinguish when it's appropriate to pass on these messages without spirit taking over the reins completely. When you're getting information, which by the way, I also want to validate, happens when we've opened our channel or we've broadened our channel or we've said yes to our channel after a really long time of like not having our channel be so open or not paying attention to it. In my early 30s, when I really was like said yes to my intuitive channel, I was too wrapped up in trauma and survival to ever pay any attention to it. Really, I was blown away by how big and broad it was and made just a lot of very innocent gaffes because I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. I want to like tune in about everyone, which is like absolutely, you know, it's not ideal. But I didn't know any better, you know, and I've obviously learned so much since then. And I've learned what I don't like and what doesn't feel good and all that stuff. So when you first open your channel, you can get all kinds of things from all kinds of sources. So that is normal. And I expect that that will pass, but for you, Sarah, but one way that you can both clarify how, like the information you get, know what's coming down the river to you and learn how to distinguish it and to create a kind of beautiful, like sparkling filtration system that will really help to keep things out is this check-in process. So let's say as of right now, because you're learning like what is mine to share, what's mine not to share, whatever. And you're getting a lot of information about people that you're with. What I would say is number one, stating in some sort of, it can be very casual, but I would just say in like a quiet spot with your cards in a moment of prayer and a moment of channeling or however your practice is, it, again, can be like very casual, very practical. But you can say, hey, spirit, thank you for entrusting me with all of this information. I don't really know the source of where all this information is coming from, because remember, there's just as many people in the world. There's triple, quadruple it, times infinity with the kind of spirits that are out there beyond the veil. And just like you wouldn't go up to any random person and ask their advice on something important, it can take a while. Again, this is not to suggest that this is happening with you, Sarah. This is just, it's ideal not to assume that everything you're getting is from your spirit helpers or the person's spirit helpers that you are receiving it from. There are all kinds of spirits. Ideally, we're talking with our guides, our angels, our beloved dead, our ancestors, who have our best interest in mind, well, ancestors. And for some people, they like to work with the whole range of ancestors. And for some of us who have ancestors that have passed on that were actively harmful to us, it's really important. It can be important languaging to just say, well, ancestors or ancestors who have my best interest at heart. But again, I'm not speaking for everyone. So remembering that is really important. So number one, rooting in to that moment of prayer or whatever, to be able to say, Spirit, thank you so much I'm really receiving you. Thank you so much. And just want to clarify something, what I'm available for. And say, I am available only to receive intuitively channeled information that is from highest and best, that is from a really true source, and that is consented, that there's consent on the other end, that someone's paying me for a reading, that I have their consent to tune in with them. I would actually prefer not to be bombarded with information. I'm not available for that. You can do that, and I recommend that you do, because it's a free will universe and because spirit will most likely listen to you. And if you keep saying that and if you keep coming forward with that intention, eventually your channel, that river of information, there'll be a gentle rewilding process where there'll be a little bed of moss that kind of bubbles up where there's a little curve in the river where there wasn't before, and we're able to have things collect in that curve. And we're like, oh, that I recognize that. There becomes a more, there just with time and practice comes greater acuity with, like, a guide would never talk like this. So I know that this is something else and pass, you know, and it's like not a big deal. Or I know that, this is probably my scared self and that deserves to be centered. And so I'm going to give that my time and invite my, you know, whatever. And for other people, that is my advice to you, because if they're not consenting to receive the information, then it gets tricky, right? As channelers, like, what do we do with this information? Now, let's say you're very clear about that and you're getting, somebody's beating your door down. So then you tune in and you say, hey, I'm receiving this over and over and over for this person. Is this from source? Basically, is this in this person's highest and best? Is this from their spirit helpers? Then the second question I would ask is, why is it being entrusted to me? Right? So we can check in about that. We want to be aware of any saviorism. There totally is, like, spirit savior complex with intuitives that I don't want to, you know, in any way be disrespectful to anyone. Like, that's been a gift that they've worked with. I bow to you, like, absolutely. And I do think even for those folks who have this tremendous gift where they're, like, going up to people in supermarkets, it is still important to add in the third question, what am I being invited to do with this information? Sometimes it's just to offer up a prayer. Sometimes it's just to send good wishes in their direction. Sometimes if we get to tell them, we still want to take the person's free will in mind so we can go up to them and say, hey, this is wild, but I'm getting some information from you, from an ancestor, from a guide. Are you available to receive that information? Please feel free to take it or leave it. We still want to give them agency inside of that. So hopefully that helps. That's a little bit about, and hopefully my example, it just happened the other day where, like, I had a huge, like, roll of energy move through my body in response to what someone shared with me. And it wasn't in a judgmental way. It was just a big feeling and a big impulse to speak on something. And their guides came in with completely different energy, a completely different tone, and a completely different directive than I had. So I was like, all right, this is why we check in. Because it's not to say we don't trust ourselves. It's just humility. It's just being humble enough to say, okay, let me just check in about that and see. And then it's not about us being wrong. It's just, I think what we're talking about ultimately is what it is to be a Hierophant. Really, ultimately, we have these channels. We are so powerful. We have such influence that just by being humble enough to say, I really want to tune in and make sure, you know, and sometimes when I'm speaking to people about certain things, I, even in a reading, I take care to say, like, you are welcome to completely let go of this. This could change. I could be wrong. Not to not be confident, I'm very confident in what I do, but because things change and I could be wrong. Like, you know, it's an imperfect science here. So hopefully that helps. Thank you for trusting me with it. And yeah, then I would say, like, if you're still getting information, then I would say that kind of three check-in qualifier, is this really from source? This person's helping guides. And then, you know, why are you entrusting this to me? And then what am I meant to do with this information? Sometimes we're not meant to do anything with it. You know, sometimes we do know things on behalf of people in our lives or even our clients, or we have a sense of something that it's not necessarily for us to talk about. It's for them to work through. You know, we're not saviors. We're just space holders, you know? I hope that helps. Because you don't need to bear the burden of the responsibility to like hold this information and take it on. So what's happening with you is to you and around you is super normal. It happens with really big, like, people who have huge intuitive channels, which I believe everyone does, by the way. But for some people, it's that their channel gets flooded with all kinds of information. It's like the radio's up too loud, and then we have to find our way back to the middle. So yeah, hopefully that helps you. Let me know if it does or it doesn't. This question is from Russell. Russell asks, I really appreciated your thoughts on the inner critic a few weeks ago, and I was wondering if you had any advice on how to work with the inner cynic. Lately in my practice, I found myself having lots of cynical thoughts about tarot as a whole, despite having experienced many times how tarot, quote, works. I'll often think I'm just making meaning out of randomness and that I'm deluding myself when I think there's any sort of magic involved. Do you ever experience this? And if so, how do you work with it? It's created a lot of distance between myself and my practice. Oh, all the time. All the time, Russell, all the time. You're not alone. You know, you're so not alone in this. And it's really tricky. It's, you know, it's a very tough feeling to work through. I think especially for me, because as far as people who work in like the spiritual arts, whatever you want to call it, I'm actually more practically minded, I think, than some of my pals and peers, like probably to a fault. I'm more inclined to go to, in my life, an evidence-based answer, actually. So it is an interesting dichotomy, and I think it works quite well for what I do. I'm appreciative of the marriage between magic and method within myself, but one tricky thing is that I do have an inner cynic and a critic that's like, well, this is ridiculous. Like, how do you know what I mean? That part of me often comes up, and I actually do think it's not wrong. It's true. It's like, why the fuck would you tune in about the card of the year? It's not 2023. It falls apart. You could blow on this house of cards and it would all fall down. Why do anything about the card of the month? Who gives a shit? One day moves into another. So yet I know that, of course, it's not 2023. And yet it is a rhythm that we all a lot of us, most of us on the planet, some of us absolutely move to a different rhythm or they honor a different enumeration of the year. And yet it's a rhythm we all live by. And so to find magic in that, to find medicine, to find meaning, I think is really what being a human is all about, you know? I think what comes up for me is the idea of, like, I'm preparing to take an end-of-life doula training, a death doula training in a couple weeks. And in doing my prerequisite reading, obviously I've never served at, like, the feet of a dying person. So I am so in my, like, I don't know anything. And what little experience I have had with being around sick folks or being around people who are dying is that, and reading about it, preparing for this training, is like whatever meaning we make of the end of our lives and what happens to us after we die, it's all valid. It's all valid. And who knows if it's true, right? The meaning that we make, the magic that we extract from things is just as valid as what we might find if we broke it down into a million pieces. So there's no harm in it, you know, unless there's harm in it, unless we're actively deluding us, we're harming ourselves or others, unless there is true ripples of harm moving through the fabric of our community because of our actions, if there's something that must be faced, must be tended to, must, and we're not doing it because we're afraid to. If something helps us to face life as it is, then that is a part of the balm and the medicine of what makes life life, you know? And I think that honestly, and maybe this is all horseshit, but I do think that honestly, the inner cynic is just like the inner critic, but with like a different hat on and like a pair of those like like glasses with like the nose and the mustache on them, like disguise glasses. It's the same thing. And what's at the bottom of both of them? And it wants to protect us. It doesn't want our heart to be broken. Right? It's, as a parent, there is a lot of magic in our house. Believe you me, there's a lot of like magic and fairies and like magic in the sun coming through trees. And like that, it is a very magical life, you know, so far. I hope it stays that way for as long as possible for my daughter. And I do think that I notice a protection. There's a guarding of that magic that I feel in myself as a parent. That's like, the world is so challenging and complex and life is so difficult. And we are speaking about already issues of complexity with our daughter and sort of ingraining it in our family's conversations already in just like 18 months old. But if there is a bedrock to magic in her life, that's not untrue. You know, it's not, it isn't. So how we work with an inner cynic is to just say, magic is valid. Magic is valid. And even if we are extracting some meaning out of something that's personal or not universal, really, does it ultimately matter? Isn't what we make mean, like the magic and the delight that we make from things, the meaning we make from things, is a part of the poetry that we leave behind while we're here. So also recognizing that your inner cynic is attempting to protect you, I think you can take the same kind of action with that. Like the speaking to it directly and being like, wow, like you really took all the wind right out of this tarot reading. yeah, you know, it's possible it could all be bullshit. It's possible that I could be making all this up. It's possible that, you know, I'm deluding myself to think that there's any magic involved in it. it's all possible. And yet I find myself drawn anyway. And yet I choose to center magic in my life because I'm not going to be here forever. And it's okay to have that here, you know? Like I think talking directly to it, like helping it to know that it's okay and safe to play, to have magic in your life, to have magic in our lives is, because it's actually, again, it's very, it's a courageous act, you know, to lean into. So I don't necessarily know. I think rather than answering your question, I feel like I'm musing along with you because I think it is an important question. You know, I do. And I don't know that I can like answer it, but I do think how you can work with the inner critic is similar in nature to how you work with the, or how you work with the inner cynic is similar to how you work with the inner critic, which is to know that both of them are attempting in some way, shape, or form to protect us from getting our hopes dashed, protect us from getting our heart broken. So in some ways you might thank this inner cynic, thank it for its help, and also know that you have every right to play and see what bubbles up and see what comes up in your readings. When you feel called to it, if you still feel called to take a little space, of course, that's okay too. So, yeah, I think how you also asked me how I work with it. I think like that, you know, and I think too, this is actually something I was just thinking about today as I was driving home from the grocery store, which is that would I have as deep of a relationship with spirit? Would I be drawn to the work I am drawn to? Would I be here if I had not suffered such horrific trauma? And that's something I've thought about since I was a teenager, is like hanging out with friends who were like, I've never even thought about God. And it was all I thought about. So like, is this a path we're born to? Is this a path that's made for us? Is it like, who fucking, you know, who knows? The Lindsay that might have been had they been born to parents who were not profoundly harmful, who knows if this is what they would have been drawn to? Maybe, maybe I would have been drawn no matter what. So I guess the point that I'm trying to get to, probably inelegantly, is that magic is valid. The meaning we make of things is valid, even if it's informed by something else. The meaning that we make, if it is of good, if it's helpful, if it doesn't harm, if it doesn't perpetuate like a society and a connection with one another that, again, creates harm and problems. If it keeps us awake, if it opens our eyes and keeps us close to tenderness, then I think it's a valid and worthy one to pursue, as long as we're thinking critically about it. But it seems like the critical factor, which it sometimes happens with me, is just up a little higher. So I think when I talk to that inner cynic, it helps. And again, I hope I've done justice to this because I do think like it's a tricky question. It probably is deserving of more of a dialogue than a monologue because, yeah, there are things inside of this practice that are very important to unpack and think very critically and thoughtfully around, to use common sense. And on the other side of that, a leap and a trust in the magic that follows can be profound. And so I think when we're in sort of communication with this inner cynic and talking to it and recognizing that it's trying to protect us from heartbreak of some kind, I think it can be really useful and really helpful. So hopefully that helps. Our last question is from Brie, and Brie asks, "Dear Lindsay, thank you for your work. It's always resonated with me, and I often find myself pulling similar cards to your collective readings." That's so cool, Brie. I love hearing that. Thank you for being here. I've been moving through a lot of fear, change, grief, and stress recently, and as much as I'm rolling with these challenges of life, my cup doesn't exactly, quote, runneth over. I hear that. I've been working with the Five of Wands, which is neatly landing with all this life stuff, and most of the Kings have popped in for a visit recently, which is the part of my readings I'm having trouble working with. The inner world has been what's calling on my attention, but perhaps the Kings are here to gently pull me up and out of introspection. I'm mindful not to force anything, but there's a pull, a call, something I can't quite put my finger on. I feel like there's a line I'm trying to figure out. When is it time to push, and how can we be sure that we're not forcing? How can I answer the call of the Kings when I feel like I'm barely scraping by? Ugh. First of all, I really hope that things feel like, I hope your cups do runneth over, and I hope it happens soon, like as soon as possible, today, yesterday, and that there is ease to your situation. And it does sound like a total Five of Wands feel. What a brilliant question. And I'm so delighted to feel into it with you. So Kings are about the way we interact with the world around us. It's just as you said, bringing something that's internal out into the external. They often speak about the way we serve, the way we lead, the way we interact, the way that we basically like leave a legacy of good in our world. You know, it's trying to be of service in a mindful way. And I will say that I know that it is possible to work with the Kings in a deeply internal time for a few reasons. One, because Kings are they can be very quiet, because remember that a lot of if we're thinking about a flower or a piece of fruit that blooms and drops from a tree, there's a lot of internal shit that's going on to make it possible for the tree to bear that fruit, for that flower to bloom open, right? There's a lot of things that have to happen. And if we think about a flower, like I'm thinking about this beautiful, gorgeous kind of wild rose bush that was in full bloom, bees everywhere, on this beach way out on the North Fork many years ago when I was out there. And it's not to say like the North Fork of New York is not like there are people out there, but it was in kind of a tucked away part of a beach that was very random. Like no one was out there. And I remember thinking like, God, just how magnificent this rosebush is. And how I think that's a really nice metaphor for the Kings in an internal time. Like there are lots of times, and I don't mean to center myself here, but there are lots of times where like I'm in a state of acute stress and there are a lot of different factors going on and I'm still called to create things. Like there have been offerings I've made and podcast episodes I've recorded and some that I haven't, but some that I have that are actually almost like a break for the life work. Like that's a Michelle-ism. My teacher is like, sometimes things in life are so hard that work or service is like the break from thinking about that stuff. So what I would say to you is a couple different things. One, there are times when we go through deep internal work experiences, and on the other side, there's medicine to share with other people. That could be part of why you're in this Five of Wands King dichotomy, is that it is also living your path of service as well and extending your kingness to yourself. So what do you need right now? Are you living in a way that you'd like, is this how you'd treat a child? like how you're treating yourself. Is this how you treat your child or your animal familiar? Or is this how you would tell your client or your family member to live, you know? And that can put into really quick perspective, like, oh my God, I would never talk to myself like this. I'd never put pressure on myself, whatever. So sometimes kings are about redefining and reframing how we tend to and show up for ourselves, how we serve ourselves in times of big internal discord. So that could be a huge part of how the kings are showing up for you, is like actually extending that kingness to yourself, eating your own apple, you know? The other thing that I would say is it's possible that this deep internal work is somehow providing it's compost that is somehow providing the fertilizer to help serve others as well. That's a possibility, you know, as well. Yeah, I think those two are, and what I said prior to that, are really nice places to start in reflecting around like how kings could be, because I don't necessarily think that the third thing is like, is there a call to be of service, and is service actually the break for the stress of your life right now? Which I don't think is, like there's somebody in my life who, when they go through something really difficult, like typically shut like everything down and they're like, I cannot do anything right now. I cannot. And I respect that about them. And I'm the opposite, where when something really tricky happens in my life, I would say 8 times out of 10, I'm called to the microphone. I'm called to the paper. I'm called to my journal. I'm called to my computer. I want to write and alchemize that. And sometimes it can help me to remember to be more tender with people, to, you know, it helps us to be so compassionate with one another. So that either is fine. But if you find yourself in a place where you're like, no, I actually think it would be nice for me to alchemize some of this, then that could probably be why the kings are showing up too. Is there a call to communication or service or space holding that is like right in front of you that you've been denying, that maybe would actually help you move through the challenge of what you're going through? That's not always the case. And you'll know, I think, which is right for you, you know? Again, no bad decisions there. I hope this helps. And I'm truly hoping that you move out of this space soon. And that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for being here with me. For those of you who didn't catch it or didn't see it, I have a couple new offerings coming out this month. One of them is just called Reversals. And it's a big workbook, or not a workbook. I'm sorry. It's an ebook. There's prompts and things in there, but it's more just a quick reference guide, plus, some really useful information to help work through any reversal that you may pull. So it goes over every single card and like some, places to start with why this card might be showing up reversed. I think it's going to be great. And there's a little audio segment that goes along with it. So Reversals is coming out in about 2 weeks, I want to say. And we have Soul Tarot for Self-Tending, which is really looking at, and I don't really have anything in my repertoire, my library, that's explicitly about that. Because I retired Trauma in the Tarot. There are things inside of Trauma in the Tarot, which is an old workshop I did, that are going to go into this one. It's basically how to work with the tarot as a tool, as an anchor for difficult moments, and how to read for people when they're in difficult moments, like how to hold that space. Because I do think that it's important to know some of that stuff. Again, in my own scope of experience and understanding, and the scope of my practice, because I'm not a therapist, I'm just a tarot reader. So I think useful ways to hold compassionate, tender space for folks whose nervous systems are a little raw. And yeah, so both of those are coming out around the same time, August 25th and August 29th, I believe, respectively. And yeah, if you want to get on those, you can sign up at the link in the show notes. So thank you all for being here. Love you all. And I'll see you next week. Until then, please take care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees, podcast art by Rochelle Sartini Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotforthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.